Welcome to the Amy Edwards Show. I'm your host, Amy. And if you are ready to just feel better, shine brighter, and access more of that amazingness that you know is inside you, that is why we're here. Hell yeah. So I'm so excited about today's show, you guys. It's with pretty much a legend, Kim Anami. She went viral a few years back for her video about vaginal weightlifting. And so, yeah, she's known as a vaginal weightlifter. She's also a sex and relationship coach and a damn good one. I really enjoyed our conversation today and just pushing myself to get more open in order to grow more. And that's where the magic happens, when we open up, when we talk about it. So I hope that you glean some of that from my own openness and vulnerability. And I hope it helps you. I really, truly do. I know that a lot of her advice is going to help. I choose to believe what she says. She says that we are all capable of so much. And so much of what I say on here is about the fact that everything we need is inside of us. And so her whole philosophy is about that, about getting to the root of things. And how do we do that? And accessing all this immense, amazing ecstasy and energy that we are capable of at any age. So I dive right in with that too, about the any age part. So wherever you are on your growth journey, I think that you will enjoy this conversation and get something out of it. So that said, thank you so much for being here. I have to say that thing where I ask you to please leave a review, a rating, subscribe, follow, all the things, because it really helps us grow this podcast and make it even bigger in the world and reach more people. And that is my whole mission, for us all to just shine brighter and brighter every single day and keep being our best selves, keep being that next best self, because there is no limit to the height that we can grow. We are limitless. Kim Anami says that. Her name means that. So as you can see, my little cohort, my dog is also, if you're watching on YouTube, she has shown up, and we call this her emotional outburst. She's doing that thing where they dig and scratch. Yeah. Anyway, that's tipsy. So I encourage you to check it out on YouTube so you can see that. Anyway, I'm so excited to bring you Kim Anami today. All the links to find her are in the show notes. She is Kim Anami, A-N-A-M-I, K-I-M. A-N-A-M-I.com. And she has a fabulous YouTube with tons of free videos and instructions and advice, and highly recommended. Also, her Instagram is Kim Anami or KimAnami.com. I am so thrilled to have her on the show. We took a long time to get this together and set it up. And so I'm just thrilled to bring it to you today. So let's get to it today with Kim Anami. Welcome, Kim Anami, as I call in more of the goddess just by saying your name. Welcome to the Amy Edwards Show. I'm so excited to meet you.
Thank you. It's lovely to be here. Thank you for inviting me on.
Well, thank you. You're a sex and relationship coach and, of course, vaginal weightlifter. And I've been following you for a while. And I've just really enjoyed following your journey, because this is a journey that I'm on myself. And that's one of the things I talk a lot about on my podcast, about how our sexual development relates to our personal development. And I'm almost 50. I'll be 50 in a few months. And
you look amazing.
Oh, thank you so much. And so do you. You look incredible. And I don't know how old you are, but you look incredible. And it's just, you know, my own mind has played some tricks on me in this. And I guess maybe I'll just start off by saying, what do you say to women that feel like they're behind, you know, that feel like they're not doing it right? And, you know, I get a little emotional even saying that to you, because I've definitely dealt with some of that. And I have to say, no, you are where you are. And that's a beautiful place. And so anyway, how do you coach people when they're feeling like that?
It's never too late. And I have women come into my programs who are in their 70s, and they become what I call part of my well-fucked all-star cabal, where they these are people who excel so much in the work. They've had such rapid progress. They're so committed to doing the work that they have these quantum leap stellar results. And so I have women in their 70s who are lubricating all over the place, ejaculating, giving their partners blowjobs all over the house, having the best sex of their lives. And so my encouragement to everyone is, wherever you are, is perfectly wonderful. There are people who will die never having had an orgasm, or had a cervical mind-blowing orgasm, you know, or felt like the real power and pleasure that their body is there to give them. And so any age, you know, there's so much mythology and misinformation that is an impediment for people really tapping into this energy. So anytime that you get that nudge and that direction where your life or your higher self is guiding you to that place, it's a victory, right? That you've managed to plow through all of this conditioning and censorship and somehow follow this glimmer of the truth of what sexuality really is. And so that in itself, like I said, is a major victory. And, you know, it's wonderful when I have people come to my work who are 18 or in their early 20s. Like, that's, you know, look at them, like look at the lifetime they'll have ahead of them. But it's equally wonderful when women come along in my work and they're in their 50s, 60s, and like I said, 70s. And then they become these stellar performers, often because they're so committed. They're like, you know, I have to make up for lost time. So they often redouble their efforts, and, you know, what you put in is what you get out. So something that I like to make clear to everyone is a concept I call the Anami Guarantee. The Anami Guarantee states that everyone can, every person at every age and every stage of their life, which means all women are multi-orgasmic. They're capable of multiple G-spot, full body, cervical, ejaculatory orgasms. They can have libidos that are voracious and insatiable. Men can learn how to separate orgasm from ejaculation and have 8-hour long stamina dates. All of these things are possible for every single person. The only thing that gets in the way of that are buying into this misinformation, our own personal blockages and trauma, and just not having the right tools. And I have all of that for people. And so the Anami Guarantee is that everyone can, because part of that common vernacular, especially nowadays when there's this very like free pass given to people, like, don't bother trying, it's okay, like, you're okay, and like participation trophy culture, right? And so you know, I don't buy into that at all. Instead, I think it's actually patronizing to tell people that kind of thing. But the idea is that everyone can, they just need to tap into that ability.
I'm a big fan of it's never too late myself. I've done a lot of things like in my later age, and I totally believe that. And I am choosing to believe what you say, because I think I had my own mental setbacks around it, especially squirting. And because that's not something that I'm adept at whatsoever. I think I've done it once. And so I think I've done it once. And so that is a real growth spot for me and getting past my own mental hangups. And so I really, when I started following you and I read that you had said that, that every woman is capable, I think I listened to a different podcast of yours, and that blew my mind a bit, because I thought, am I going to choose to believe this or not? You know, and it was just a matter of really taking the leap and doing that. And isn't that what everything is, pretty much?
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
So when people do take the leap, what are we to expect out of it life-wise? Like, what's the payoff besides, you know, the pleasure of it in the moment?
Well, my big message in my work is that sexual energy is life force energy. This is the energy that creates new life. And so, yes, having great sex means that we feel better in ourselves and our bodies and our relationship. But there's also, because it is this integral life force energy that we're now tapping into, once we inhabit and own that energy, we learn to harness that energy and channel it out into our lives, everything changes in our universe. And so we notice, yes, an immediate improvement in the level of our own intimate relationship, our connection with our partner, our connection with ourselves. But then that radiates out into the world. And I refer to something I call the well-fucked woman. And so this is a woman who is imbued with this quality, this je ne sais quoi, this like radiance and magnetism and attractiveness that's her wearing her sexual energy, wearing this vibrancy, this revitalized, very, very attractive energy that then she's, you know, channeling out into everything in her life. So people often find changes in their bodies. They'll lose weight, they'll firm up because their excess baggage is now being alchemized through the power of their sexual connection. They find that the things that they might have used as comfort mechanisms like food, that they don't need that anymore. They feel fulfilled on a much deeper level. So they're not reaching for things to fill that hunger that's really a cry for intimacy, for deep intimacy, for being seen by ourselves and with a partner. We notice a change in our careers and our vocation because our sexual energy is that life force blueprint. Our genetic DNA blueprint is housed within that energy. We find that people start making life choices that are more alignment in the truth, their true selves and who they really are. They self-actualize. And so let's say somebody was, I hear this all the time in my work, like working in a job that was more of a pay the bills, 9 to 5 kind of job, rather than an expression of their true gifts and talents, their dharma in the world. They'll just quit that job, like out of the blue, not because we did a bunch of counseling about it or we gave them career quiz testing. You know, it's like they just could feel like this is not right for me anymore, and they leave it behind and they end up moving towards something. They gravitate towards something that's more in alignment with their truth. And like that is one of the most beautiful things to see, is that realignment. And that is one of the big unspoken, really unknown truths about coming in touch with your sexual energy. It's much more than just having great orgasms and feeling more confident in your body and having a better intimate relationship. Is it that it's a life force energy? And this is the big, I think, suppression, why sexuality is so censored and is so maligned in so many ways, is that the secret is that it really is the fountain of youth. It really is the secret to your truth. It really is the core of who we are. It has nothing to do with this taboo, moral fucking bullshit, right? It's like, this is the essence of us. And when we're connected to that source, everything in our world opens up. It's a channel. It's an inside channel. It's the ultimate free energy source on the planet. And so when we learn to get in touch with that energy, everything changes. Even if we have children, what I notice a lot is that, like, you know, the parents really are the container. They are the source support for their children. And so everything that's happening within the parents, whether you are in a couple or you're a single parent, that reverberates out into the lives of your children. They pick up on everything by osmosis. And so when a couple starts to really solidify their relationship, they're more deeper and connected, vulnerable, open, surrendered with each other, all of that then makes waves with their children. So let's say children who were previously acting out more difficult, challenging, belligerent, they settle down. The whole family unit harmonizes with the source fuel being the connection of the couple. So all of these things change in our entire world. The waves that we make within our bed and our sexuality reverberate out, right? This is life force. And so our whole life force, everything that we broadcast out into the world changes and becomes more of our truth and our authentic expression of who we are, an alignment with divine life source energy.
There's a lot in there. I love that a lot. It resonates with me very much. And one of my messages has always been over the last 10 years or so about being a well-rounded woman and embracing our fullness. And this is such a huge part of who we are and our fullness. And so anyway, there's not really a question there. I just really dig that because I think that there can be a lot of resistance, especially when someone becomes a mom and then it feels like, you know, you can't do that anymore. Well, do you have like some specific practices that you tell people that they can, you know, start doing or that you go back to, for instance, that can help someone get more in that? Oh, I know what I wanted to ask too. I wanted to ask, do you really focus on how your body feels versus allowing your mind into fantasy?
Yeah, definitely about staying in the present. And I steer people away from fantasy and pornography, not out of any, you know, judgment. It's just that I'm all about being in the present and cultivating that energy and connection within the body. And those other indulgences, let's call them, take us further out of the body. They lead to more dissociation and they're more symptomatic of dissociation. So when people are more dissociated from their bodies, from their genitals, from their reproductive organs, their sexuality, they're more prone to those things, which it's like a vicious circle. It reinforces that dissociation. So one of the best tools for both male and female is breathing, right? Most people, when they're because of all the messaging that we've taken in around sexuality that's really negative or paradoxical, right? Like there's sex everywhere, but you're not really allowed to have it and enjoy it. Sex sells everything from toothbrushes to toilets, but oh, you can't really have sex, you know, like that's, it's kind of dirty and bad. It's like, well, what the fuck? So everybody's walking around with this dichotomy in their brains, like trying to like come to some resolution with it. And then if people have had sexual trauma, you know, that's a really big imprint upon the energy body that if they don't clear that, they're going to be walking around with blockages within themselves. You mentioned earlier, like the mother idea, like the Madonna whore dichotomy, right? That archetype, like a woman can be a virgin or a slut, but there really isn't a happy medium in between the two where she can just be a happy, sexually voracious woman. So all of these things people have to work through to really grasp and tune into their sexual energy. So that's a process, a longer, deeper process, but breathing. So in, because of all of these things, people are often dissociated sexually, not fully connected, but getting into your breath really helps bring you into your body, into the present moment, connecting with yourself, connecting with your partner. And so I encourage people throughout the sexual experience, whether you're self-pleasuring or you're with a partner, is to focus on long, steady, deep breathing, like a good 4-count inhale and a 4-count exhale. And as much as you can, like start the session out by consciously breathing by yourself, or if you're with your partner, you can hold eye contact and then synchronize your breathing for a few minutes, and then you commence making love. And same thing at the end of your session, you can finish off in that way. And then throughout, you can pause and make sure that you're breathing. And even the end with and a couple making eye contact as well. So making eye contact is a really great way to stay present and connected and not drift off into, you know, fantasy or dissociation or what am I going to make for dinner tonight? If you're really looking into each other's eyes and you're consciously breathing, you're as present as you can be.
Do you have orgasms with your eyes open?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. Is that a funny question? Because I was just talking to a tantra master last week and he was saying he does. And I was like, really kind of evaluating myself. And I was thinking, do I? And it's kind of something that I have to break an old pattern of, I think, because I tend to close my eyes and I think I could get more present. And that's just been an interesting part of it. I've had to get disciplined in my own. Well, I started with my own pleasure practice and just getting more disciplined about getting out of my head and just into my body. And the breathing part, everybody says breathe. And I have not mastered that practice yet sexually, but I'm working on it. So are these things that you're practicing every single day? I'm kind of curious, like what you're growing into right now and, you know, what your practices are like personally.
Well, the other think, you know, you mentioned that I'm a vaginal weightlifter. So the other thing that I'm known for is working with a jade yoni egg. And so for women, I'd say this is an essential tool for reconnecting, really awakening the vagina. Most people, women, people have very numb vaginas. And because they haven't exercised them or they've internalized their trauma and it's, you know, residing within these tissues. So using a yoni egg is an amazing way to reconnect and make sentient, increase pleasure and sensation, sensitivity in the vagina and awaken it as this power source, as this creative life force, you know, orgasmic space that it's really meant to be. So I do yoni egg, you know, probably several times a week. And so using it in a way to create articulation and sensitivity and strengthen the vagina is one of my big practices. Self-pleasuring and or making love with my partner, whichever I'm in the mood for. Usually that's a daily thing. Yoni massage and lingam massage are also really good tools where if people are just in that place of trying to denumb their genitals, then conscious massage of them, either practicing on yourself or on your partner. And I have a couple of great YouTube videos on this on my YouTube channel. Just really helps to bring life and consciousness back again to these places where people may have been dissociated.
Yeah, that's been a process for me in the last couple of years. And I was pleased to see that it was a yoni egg that you can use because I do that. And, you know, that's been a really good tool for me. But I've just pulled on it with and made my own resistance. Do you have to use a weight on it?
Well, you can build up, you can use your own resistance at first. That's a great way to start. And then Okay. Once you get stronger, you can lift weights. Yeah.
Cool. And then 3 times a week. That's good to know. Yeah. It's good because making time for stuff every day isn't always, you know, an option. That's for sure.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. There questions pop up as we're talking and I forget them because I'm listening to you. So how do you deal with people that are skeptical of what you do and skeptical of the work? I mean, do you encounter a lot of like people that come to you and say they're not in agreement with you or something like that?
Then take it or leave it. I don't really care. Like I'm here for the people who are ready to show up and do the work. And if this doesn't work for them or they're not interested, then go somewhere else. I don't, you know, like it's not my job. I'm out there giving out as much free content and information as I can. And then for people who want to learn and take it the next level, I have my online salons that they can study. But, you know, my job is to deliver the truth as I see it. And for those who resonate with it, great. If they don't, then you don't need to let me know. If you do, I'll just block you off my fucking page. You can get the fuck off my, you know, like that we're in this reality right now where people think because they're anonymous and they hide behind their anonymous like profiles that they somehow now have a voice to tell you they don't like what you do. I don't care. Get out, you know, like go away. I'm here for the people who want to learn and want to hear this. And I'm here to support them and to channel to them. So
I kind of feel like there's more of a movement toward this right now. I mean,
toward what?
Toward, not the negative, but the opening up of this sexual way. Maybe it's because I'm personally doing it, you know, and you start to see more of that. But I do feel like in the world, maybe, you know, since the pandemic, people are definitely abandoning their old jobs. They are opening up in new ways and finding their voice in new ways. And it seems like the world might be, you know, this might be spreading. Do you think so?
Well, I definitely, you know, I've been doing this work for a long time, like 30 years, right? And so I was probably one of the first people on the internet speaking about these things and definitely the first person to call themselves a holistic sex and relationship coach. And now there's, you know, all of these sort of derivatives of my work and my ideas out there. And so, I mean, it's great that these ideas are out there and making waves. And when my Things I Lift With My Vagina campaign went really viral in 2014, 2015, you know, that then really kind of legitimized yoni eggs and brought into focus, this whole notion of more woman-centered, self-centered, meaning I can heal myself, I can take care of myself, I can do these things on my own, holistic way of looking at sexuality, right? And empowerment. And so that's been one of my biggest messages, is the power is in your hands and literally at your fingertips. And we don't need outside sources to give it to us. And that's the historic model, at least recent history, right? With the OBGYN profession of really telling women, you don't know how to manage your own fertility. You don't know how to birth your own baby. We're going to cut it out of you. We're going to manage your entire pregnancy and drug you through it and test you through it. You know, we're going to give you these carcinogenic birth control pills and hormones to manage everything from your acne to your fertility to your menopausal transition. It's like a complete seizure of women's health, right? And my message is the exact opposite to that, is you do not need any of that. If you want it, that's up to you, right? Take what you like of what I have to say and leave the rest. But my message is that it's not necessary. And it is actually a malevolent and deliberate effort to wrest that power away from women and their bodies. And I'm all about restoring it and really reinforcing to women to have the confidence and the faith in their own bodies that we have that power. We can control our reproductive systems. We can control our fertility. We can use natural fertility methods to manage our conception and contraception. We can heal ourselves naturally from all manner of ailments through simply getting in touch with our sexual energy, right? Our sexual energy is one of the greatest healers and rejuvenators in the world, right? This is our life force energy. And when we consciously learn how to tap into, manage, channel that energy, we have one of the biggest healing powers, as I said, at our fingertips. And so that is the core of my work, is reinforcing to women, you have the power, take the power, you know, and stop outsourcing your power. Again, if you want to do that, if you feel more comfortable to do that, that is up to you. And I believe that we all progress in evolution, right? Like I've been doing holistic healing for 30 years. And so my faith in the power of holistic healing, in the power of my body to heal itself and for me to heal myself, knowing that if I do the higher psycho-spiritual, emotional, mental work, that when we're out of balance in those places, that's what manifests as ailments or physical illness. I know that, and I'm all about taking responsibility for that. But somebody may not be that far along the path, or these ideas are newer to them, and so they might feel more comfortable having someone tell them what their body's doing, right? And so be it, that's okay. But my work is trying to give people a map to be able to do that themselves.
Yeah, I just got my IUD out after many, many years. And that's—
Congratulations, great.
Thank you. You know what? It took a while for me to even get it out, to get it booked. It was a fucking hassle. And now I'm very curious, like how my body's going to adjust if I just don't have that in there. And I'm curious about it sexually. In fact, I even noticed something today during sex and I was like, well, that's a little, my, like, you know, lubrication was a little bit different. And I'm just, it's been a little over a month now or a month and a half that it's been out. So, I mean, and I'm not, you're not told that, you're just told like, here, put this in, you know, and
here, put this in, I'll put it in for you.
Yeah. And so it's just been, again, it's never too late. And it's just, they even encouraged me not to take it out. They were like, oh, well, you're probably going to hit menopause soon. And I was like, they were like, are you menopausal? And I'm like, how would I even know? I don't know, you know? And so I felt really out of touch with my body. And I'm just curious sexually too, what is going to happen? Have you seen a lot of results from women?
Definitely. How long did you have it in for?
I have had one at least 12 years.
Yeah. And was it hormonal or copper?
It was hormonal.
Right. Right. So absolutely. Like people in my salons, often in my salons are generally 8 weeks long, and women will be inspired, you know, near the start to take it out, and they'll see shifts happen even within that 8 week period of being in the salon. You know, we're doing this inner work at the same time, so that might accelerate the process of seeing these shifts, but absolutely, where they feel more in touch with their body, their libido, like, you know, it's basically a massive interference field. right? That we any kind of hormonal birth control, even if it's a copper IUD, it's an interference field and a hormone blocker. Like, they don't tell you that. They'll use the phrase that it's balancing your hormones. It's not balancing them, it's blocking them. So women are being put on hormone blockers as teenagers, often right through menopause, right? And take a brief hiatus when they want to have a baby. So yeah, I mean,
That's me. Yeah.
Right.
That was me.
Right. So, you know, great. Kudos to you for having the courage to take it out. And even, you know, because then you face resistance from these people who are discouraging you from doing that again. Like, and this is, I did a live on this a couple of weeks ago where I was just talking about this entire process of that profession and the allopathic profession in general, really trying to convince people that you do not have the power. We have the power. We are the gateways between you and your body. And without us, you will fail, right? Like, that is the message of that entire system. And again, you know, my job is to give people the courage and the faith to believe that, no, the power is in them and they do not need to outsource it.
I love that. Yes, the power is within us with everything. Like, if we have everything we need. Yeah, I felt like when I was taking it out and talking to them, I felt like I had to like answer questions and justify my reasons and stuff.
Right.
And I felt like saying, just why is this a question? Just take it out, you know? Like, it's really a messed up system that we've got in place. And I was dealing with women too, women doctors, you know.
Sometimes they're worse. You know, their own internalized hatred, I think, and doing what they know to be damage on some level makes them even more belligerent to defend the system. You know, it's like doubling down when you know you're wrong because you just couldn't bear to admit that you were wrong.
Right. I know. And just that whole, like, we know better than you is a tough
pill to swallow. There, little girl. Don't you worry your pretty little head about that. We'll take care of it. Right. Pat you on the head, you know?
Yes.
Totally patronizing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm glad you're sharing that message too. It seems pertinent right now, like very, very important as we all seem to be getting, at least I say all, as it seems like more messages are getting out about holistic healing and things like that. So, I know you started all this at a young age and you started your spiritual journey, I think when you were around 20, right? And, I guess, you know, what really prompted that for you? Did you just feel really always kind of in touch with this path?
I would say that maybe growing up, like, I had a sense of my own connection to the divine, and then going through your regular school system felt, you know, really struggled and, you know, felt disconnected, and then had to go through my own big initiation process of really reclaiming myself. And in doing that, having to stand alone and stand up to certain things. And I think that really prepared me for, you know, the life that I have now in terms of like being the first to say something and say something contrarian or controversial, but, you know, saying it anyway, right? As if it's my truth, not saying it just to cause a controversy, but saying it because it's truthful, even if there's a big wave against it, or it might make a big wave. And then, yeah, like in my late teens, even like or mid to late teens, started to get that path maybe more as I was going through that initiation pointed out to me of my spirituality and getting into meditation and even herbal healing and these processes of like going inside to find the truth. And so I started looking at herbs and homeopathy and self-studying how to heal myself, and you know, took on meditation since I was 19. I've had pretty much a daily meditation practice. And so all of that stuff has really, you know, the sum total of the oeuvre of work that I've created is a culmination of all of those things, all of my forays into holistic healing and my own modalities that I explored and tested on myself, you know, to achieve my own transformation. And then through all of that, you know, I had this relationship or sort of idea that sexuality was a portal to the divine. So contrary to all the messages that we're told and shown in the world that sex is dirty or taboo or bad, or sex is over here and God is over here, I was kind of like, they're actually very similar. Like the level of sort of deep connection and surrender and this opening up to some greater source, and like the little self falling away, you know, and the larger soul being amplified. I got that through my sexual experiences, and I got that through my more spiritual quests. And so to me, they were always very close and very much the same, not the same, but a similar path.
Like a level of bliss, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean,
achieve.
If you take away the judgment and the negativity, it's really like even some of the names, the words that we use, like ecstasy, right? Like that's applied to spiritual states and sexual states, mm-hmm. surrender, spiritual states and sexual states, openness, letting go of the little self, and, you know, opening up to something more powerful than we are, right? A force more powerful. All of those things are spiritual, and in my world, sexual concepts. So in all these journeys, some of the sexual experiences that I had, even from a young age, were very cataclysmic and transformative and self-actualizing. Like I would come out of these experiences feeling reborn. And I knew of that term, the French term, le petit mort, the little death and rebirth is their phrase for orgasm, or one of their phrases. And that all resonated with me. And so I just kept going forward in those directions and following my heart and my genitals, and, you know, then just putting all of that together in the work that I do. All of these deeper like practices spiritually around self-responsibility and self-actualization, and then aligning that with my sexual practices. And, you know, that's what I think what makes my work quite powerful and the results quite permanent is that I'm working with people at a deep root cause level. And from the start, I've never been one to give people band-aids like, oh, you know, take Viagra, or, oh, here's a bottle of lube. Like, no, I've never advised that ever. You know, I've always worked with people to get to the root cause. Like, okay, if you have a limp erection, what is that symbolic of in your life? So for men, let's say, as an example, you know, not showing up in life, that means they're not showing up in their cock. If they're quite limp and impotent in their life, their cock will be exactly the same. If women are blocked and not in their flow, they're more restricted, they can't let go, they won't lubricate that well, right? They're not in the flow of life. They're not in the flow of their yoni. And so when we work on both levels to, you know, the body is always a messenger. It's always revealing the deeper truths of who we are and where we need to look if something needs attention or correction or healing. So instead of ignoring and overriding these messages, which is the allopathic way, I'm like, no, we listen to them and we work with them and heed their wisdom to then come to a true resolution of the root cause issue.
Well, that's a big concept. I mean, not putting any band-aid, but labeling those like even lube and things like that, like get to what's really going on. And
yeah,
it's just way too easy to just grab that band-aid, the pill, the lube, the whatever.
Definitely. Definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a whole, you know, but I think once people start learning that vocabulary and learning that way of assessing things, and often people maybe coming out of futility in that system, right? Where they've been given band-aid after band-aid after band-aid, and something kind of clicks to them to be like, I'm not really making progress. I'm on a lateral path, if not a descending path, rather than an actual ascending path and growth path. And so that might trigger them to start looking and exploring in other directions and more holistic ones. But, you know, I love being that messenger to show people. And then I think once they get a taste of that, once they take a leap of faith and they try something different and their body responds and their psyche responds and they get excited, they did that. You know, mm-hmm. they were able to make that change. And so it begins.
And so it begins. Then they have more faith and it just keeps building.
Yeah.
I think it's so cool how you pointed out the similarities between spiritual speak and sexual speak. I hadn't thought of it that way. Maybe here and there a tiny bit, but that's really cool. And I just wanted to echo that again, because I really liked it. And one of the things too that I'm noticing, I'm a big advocate for voice and how we show up using our voice and the power of our voice. And so two things I want to ask about that. Number one, I think there's such a cool connection that you are making between our voice and our sexuality. And you just pointing out that you're more likely to speak up about something, and not to make waves, but to, or maybe, I don't know, and, but to speak truth and to get more in touch with that. And I think that what a cool thing to come out of this, right? What a cool connection. The other thing I wanted, the question, I guess, too, would be, I've been working on personally, a lot of this comes from what I'm working on right now. I've been working on using my voice more during sex, because I've noticed that's like one place that I get a little tongue-tied. I get a little sheepish, you know, about using my voice. And I wanted to know your ideas on the importance of making sound during sex and what that can bring to us.
Right. Well, first I wanted to mention that one of the things that I see happen so much that happens, begins to be a milestone in people's evolution, is they start not to give a fuck what people think about them. So as they really inhabit their sexual energy and their selves, and they're becoming in that alignment space, they do speak up more. They don't care anymore what people think of them. Their filter goes away. They start to wear the clothes they want to wear and make the life choices they want to make. And that's, it's not because they're trying not to give a fuck. They just don't give a fuck. And that's one of the, where the thresholds I know when someone's really made it over that edge in their evolution, because they've reached that place of not giving a fuck. So, and then if you take that,
it's
back
genuine.
Into
the genuine,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's like they're impervious to criticism and judgment. It doesn't matter, because they are so grounded in themselves that it just pings off of them. You know, it's like whatever. It's a mosquito and you blow it, or it just flies over you because it doesn't even like register anymore. It's different vibration. So, sound in bed, I think, is really important. And I think many people are very mute in bed, right? And so even if you have to force yourself to speak, and making noise is one thing, but the next level is speaking. And so I would encourage you to practice, like, let's say you have to say 20 things in bed to your partner, right? Because we have this idea that we close our eyes and we get silent and we just get in the moment. And like, there's something beautiful about that too. But a whole other level opens up of self-expression, and the throat is connected to the genitals as well. And so when we speak, a whole other energy and level of interaction and engagement comes through. So yes, it's great to practice moaning and, you know, making sounds that way, but even speaking, talking to your partner.
But wait, our throat is connected to our genitals? Do you mean like through chakra system or?
Yeah. What? So the throat, especially in women, the throat and the vagina in birth, women are often encouraged to open their mouth and to make sound, because that'll help to open up the vagina.
Well, that's interesting. Is it through chakras? What is it? What is that? What's connecting?
Sure. If it's like anatomical, like musculature, it must be, because it's more than just chakras. Like,
maybe it's like
an actual physiological.
Maybe it's opening this mouth portal. Like there's something psychological too, that opens up any hole.
We have all this anatomy, like these muscular and viscera that connect everything. And I think there's a purely physiological element to that as well, of opening the mouth opens up the vagina.
Yeah, that's so interesting. I like it. Okay. You know what? I'm going to do that. I'll try 20 things. Speaking of counting, you on your website said that you can have 20 orgasms in a row. Mm-hmm. Okay. First of all, how do you keep count of those? I mean, like, I don't think I could.
I think you keep count for a while and then you let go and like, you kind of estimate, you know, sometimes you might actually keep count just for fun, but yeah.
Let me see if I can get this question out. So when you say you have 20 orgasms in a row, I feel like I've kind of had to redefine what orgasms in a row are like. Because I think, you know, for so many years, I was just doing the thing with like a clitoral orgasm. And you have one, and then you're super hypersensitive, and like it's hard to continue, right? And so, or you need a little time. And so, as I've grown into my sexuality, even just in the last few years, I am noticing like it comes from a deeper place, and I can feel it like in my stomach, and it's just, it's like, or heart or wherever, and it flows out. And I feel like when you say 20 orgasms in a row, I feel like I don't know if I'm doing that. Is it something that you're like, oh yeah, yeah, I'm definitely having that? Or is it sort of like this, are the orgasms, does your feeling and definition of them kind of change a little bit to where it might feel a little different than what you've been accustomed to? And so, you know, you might be having them and in this state of bliss for an extended period of time, and you just aren't understanding it the same way?
Yeah, look, there are women who can have multiple clitoral orgasms who seem to have no or very little of a refractory period. I knew a woman who could have 60, like she'd just be texting me. She was a client for a little while and she'd be like, okay, 48. Okay, it's my birthday. I'm turning 50. So we're going for 50 tonight. She was hilarious. Wow. And then, so that is possible. I think for most people though, having that many orgasms in a row would be more G-spot or cervical orgasms, where that build and ascension is a bit different. So with a clitoral orgasm, we think of a typical build, get to a peak. There are pelvic contractions, and then there's a decline in energy, where with G-spot and cervical orgasms, we have more of a build plateau, and you never really have to drop off. You can just keep going. And so because we're more like rolling hills, right? And so because of that, it's easier to have many more in a row. There's not that drop off where you feel like, okay, there's a real drop in energy and you need to regenerate yourself before you can go again. They just keep going. It's like climbing a big mountain, but you get to one level and another level and another level and another level. And it really is infinite. So part of that comes through breathing, through keeping the breath going. We keep energizing ourselves as we're moving through sex rather than tiring ourselves out. My big barometric question for sex is, does sex leave you feeling energized, rejuvenated, transformed, ecstatic, and like it changed your life? And if not, then you're doing it wrong. And that's not a judgment. It's to say that sex ought to be giving you energy rather than leaving you feeling like you want to have a nap. And ideally, we're in a place where we're doing that breathing and that restoration, that recirculation of sexual energy, that we want to go do things. We want to take that energy and use it out in the world.
Like, do you have personal setbacks around this? Do you have, you know, down moments, and what do you return to every time? Do you return to your pleasure practice, meditation, you know, your regular practices?
Well, I've had a regular meditation practice for nearly 3 decades now. And so that's a non-negotiable for me. That's like, that's not something that I come and go with, you know, it's daily practice, no matter what. And sometimes several times a day, same thing with my sexual practices. Those are also non-negotiable. And so I feel like because I've been doing, and, you know, I do a lot of personal healing and, you know, development work where I'll dive in and out of different phases of that. Like I'll decide, okay, this is something that I really want to work on. And so I work intensively on that for a while. And then, you know, maybe take not a total break, but it's just not as intense work for a while. So with all of that, I feel like I built a buffer of strength that I don't really go below a certain level anymore, you know, where maybe I did in my younger years. And now it's just more consistent because I have these practices that are a way of life.
For sure. I've noticed that in my own meditation practice, in my own life, and just having that to return to, is finding my center essentially and getting out of those negative moments quicker, you know, much quicker.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful thing. Well, we're coming up on about an hour and I wanted to leave the floor open to you to see what's on your mind right now, or what's in your heart right now that you are really calling to people and putting out there, and just turn the floor over to you of anything that you feel called to say right now.
Well, I think I alluded to it with this idea of us having control of our own fertility. And there's a big debate out there right now in terms of a particular decision that might alter the direction of women's reproductive health. And, you know, I did a live on my Instagram a couple of weeks back to really let people know that that isn't it. In an ideal world where women were taking responsibility for their conception and their contraception and practicing natural fertility awareness, it wouldn't matter. And, you know, we would be in a position where, I don't know if we want to name this directly, if you want to get into that, but like this whole Roe versus Wade thing where people are very worried and threatened and upset. A lot of people are, at least, and for both on both sides. And my point is that this ought to be a moot point, is that people shouldn't even be in the position where they're using abortion as birth control. And if they are, and the fact that 97.5% of women are in our culture, there's a 97.5% elective abortion rate, then, you know, people really have no idea how their reproductive organs work. They have no idea how they're getting pregnant, how to prevent pregnancy. And that's ridiculous, right? And it's an embarrassment to the medical profession, to the OBGYN profession, and in a way to women, right? That they know so little about their own bodies. And so my message is that women need to take their power back, not by marching in the streets and holding up signs, but by learning how their own bodies work and learning their own reproductive rhythms and health and cycles. And natural birth control, actual fertility awareness methods have a 98, 99% effectiveness rate. They are the most effective method of birth control on the planet. And the only reason that women don't hear about them is because they're free. And in countries in the world where they have maybe less government overreach, or let's say pharmaceutical overreach and intervention, these methods are taught as endorsed methods of government birth control because they want this information to be disseminated and they're less influenced by the pharmaceutical, you know, operatives. So I throw that out there to people. And this is something that I teach in all of my salons. The Well Fucked Woman salon of mine is coming up in, I think it begins in July, where I teach it and talk about it and give people the power to not feel like they have to go begging to an outside source. You know, these people dressed up in Sith Lord cult Halloween costumes and get on their knees and beg them for the right to use their own body. I find that really ludicrous. And instead, the message is that women, you have that power in your own body, should you choose to use it. If you think that you need to keep outsourcing it, then, you know, off you go. But for those people who actually want to learn how to use it and harness it, that's where I come in, or teachings like this, to show people the way, show women the way and the truth in their own bodies. It wasn't meant to be that hard, right? Like, think of any female in the animal kingdom. Do we know when she's in heat? Do we know when she's in estrus? Is it not insanely obvious? It's the same thing with women if we learn to read those signs. And so that's something that every single woman can do, regardless of the age, stage, or, you know, irregularity of her menstrual cycle. Every woman can learn how to do that. And this is, you know, like, this is very of the moment, because women are acting like there's no way they could ever do that. They just don't know. They haven't been told. This information has been hidden from them. One time I even went to see, I don't see doctors, I don't see OBGYNs, but years ago I'd been to see a doctor about something, and she asked me, you know, what method of birth control I used. And I told her, not because I wanted her opinion or her approval, she just asked, you know, and I told her, and she got, that doesn't really work. And I was like, what do you mean it doesn't work? Like, have you not read the science? Like, I really called her out on it, because she was, you know, acting like she knew better than me. She was trying to pull that on me, right? That she knew better, and, oh, there, little girl. girl. And I was like, there's no way. I said, I'm using the most effective birth control on the planet. And you are prescribing a group one carcinogen classified so by the WHO, right? In the same class as asbestos and radium is where hormonal birth control lies. So, you know, I fully called her out on it. And that was probably one of the last times I ever went to see a doctor, because I just thought they really are just pharmaceutical WHO RES. And I don't want any part of this system. Look, if I was to cut myself and need stitches or something, yeah, I mean, I would go there unless I could find somebody else. You know, my boyfriend stitched me up once, you know, wow. He's got first aid training, right? So you can, I'm like, actually, that's something I want to learn how to do, is how to give myself stitches, because in I go surfing and, you know, it happens, right? And so those are the only times I might use someone like that, but I otherwise don't, right? Like I've learned how to heal myself for many things, or I might see a naturopath or somebody more holistic. And, but yeah, that was a real pivotal moment of like, wow, you have no idea what you're talking about. And you're actually lying to me. That person was either lying deliberately or through, you know, misinformation that she'd been given. And, you know, that was a moment of no, I'm not going back.
I find that a very, very interesting perspective. I'm you know, very much about choice and retaining that right. And I really do like what you're saying though, about really getting in touch with our body and really taking back our autonomy fully. Like that's fully going into, this is my choice. Everything is my choice, including how I view my body. So I haven't heard it put like that. So I think that that's a really interesting and important message that you're putting out. So thank you for sharing that. I'm really glad you did. Yeah. And
my
for your
pleasure.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, I guess I was kind of reflecting too on just women throughout history and how many women, at least in our, you know, industrial age, you know, time frame, or were not at all taught that, not by their mothers. My mother and I didn't have a conversation about it, not by their grandmothers. And so we've just perpetuated a cycle of being completely out of touch.
Well, look, I think it's probably closer in our history than we think. You know, I mean, maybe the last few generations, it's been removed from them and replaced with this allopathic outsourcing, like even in birth, right? In 1901, 2% of women were having their children in hospitals and 98% of women were having home births. In the 1950s, that changed to about 50-50. And now it's the exact opposite. 2% of women are home birthing and 98% are in the hospital, right? So that's only in the last century. So I think that even, you know, whatever, 19th century, we were still using herbal medicine. All indigenous cultures have information on how women can control their fertility through plant allies and the like. This is just knowledge that's been removed, or it's been told that we've been told that it's really dangerous. And, but even before that, like I said, we have the ability simply to read our own bodies and understand what's going on in them, mm-hmm. period.
Yeah. And to do these things safely. Absolutely. You know, like even home birth, there's ways to really get someone that's trained, knows how to help you and do it naturally and well. So anyway, I think that that's a great message to keep putting out there. And I admire your commitment and adherence to really, truly knowing that it's all within you. I'm on that path. And I think that it's a really magnificent thing to put out there and to keep proceeding on. So thank you so much. And thank you just for being here today and opening your heart and your wisdom and sharing so much, because it's impactful to me personally, very, very, very much. And I'm looking forward to using your knowledge and sharing it with the world. So thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Excellent. Thank you. It's been fun. Thanks so much for having me.
Yes. And everyone can find you at kimandnami.com. I've got everything in the show notes or online on Instagram. And do you have any other platforms that I'm missing?
I have an Orgasmic Enlightenment podcast you can find in the usual areas. My YouTube channel has many different playlists with all kinds of wonderful free education on all things sexual and intimate. And my online salons are courses that you can take at my website, kiminami.com, where I teach on all things sexual and relationship as well.
I'll put links to all that in the show notes so everybody can find you and access all your information very easily. So thank you so much for making the time today. I'm in major gratitude for that. Thank you so much. Beautiful.
It's been lovely to be here.
This has been the Amy Edwards Show from Overcome Studios. Remember to rate, review, and subscribe. And thank you so much for being here. Sign up for our newsletter at amyedwards.com.